Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Do send in your questions for parenting or your own observations and experiences. 9toNoon@rnz.co.nz or text them to 2101. Still to come a little bit later, James Crute with what he has been viewing, which includes Civil War in cinemas. One Question, which debuts on Sky Open, and The Royal Hotel, among other things. Our guests have investigated the impact mothers can have on how their daughters feel about their bodies. Developmental psychologist Janet Borsiewski and social psychologist Ashley Gallagher are both based at the University of North Carolina. They've co-authored a book, Beyond Body Positive, a mother's evidence-based guide for helping girls build a healthy body image. As social media adds to the pressure to look a certain way and to try crazy diets, what is this doing to young women? In their book, Janet and Ashley look at how very young girls are digesting the body image messages around them and the importance of what they see modelled by those closest to them, but in particular, their mums. Ashley and Janet are with us now. Thanks very much for your time.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. Hello.
Just jump in anytime, either of you, as you wish. This is an age-old problem, that of body image and girls and young women. Unfortunately, like just about everything else at the moment, the volume of incoming and the continuity of incoming, what is the impact that this is having?
Well, clearly it's having a significant impact on girls and women. We know that this is a lifelong image, a lifelong issue for women, their body image. It affects them across the lifespan. So some research shows that we're even feeling bad about our bodies up into our 70s, and that our appearance still matters to us. But, you know, it's a lifelong issue, but it's also has very deep consequences, both physical and psychological. So low self-esteem, depressive and anxiety symptoms, for example, relationship problems, even the daily life activities that we're willing to engage in or not engage in is predicted by having negative body image. So it's a widespread problem for women. And it affects us across social, psychological, and physical domains.
Is that Ashley I'm speaking with?
Yes.
Yeah, thanks, Ashley. I guess the point I was making is that we used to have magazines and maybe TV shows occasionally back in the day where we would be comparing and where these messages would be pushed at us. But now it's pretty much, well, it can be at risk of being 24/7, right? And it's Instagram and it's TikTok and it's just all on. Has that made a difference, the sheer volume and the length of time in the day?
It has. And so you're absolutely right. I mean, it used to be that you had limited exposure to these things. A magazine comes out once a month, right? You're maybe seeing some ads, but now the social media is so image focused, and that's really widened vulnerability for both young girls and women. It tends to be very appearance focused. So that's the first issue. The second issue is just the time, as you're saying. So you're thinking a lot about what you look like and unpacking so many elements of yourself that probably we never would have even thought about, right? If you think about even things like just, are my eyebrows okay? I mean, never mind body shapes and what we're expected to do as women, you know, concerns about images that are filtered and, you know, seeing that consistently, a lot of work now focusing on the sexualization of young girls on social media. And of course, for women, this has always been an issue. Images of the thin ideal and the idea that one type of body is the right type of body. And there's a lot of peer pressure online. You see people doing these things, you see what you think other people look like. And certainly for young girls who are vulnerable, you know, you're going to be susceptible to that kind of peer influence as well.
How early in life is that message being taken on, the message about the body and how it looks? How early is it being imparted to kids, both boys and girls?
Yeah, and this is, you know, one of the main motivators for writing our book is that I think people were surprised, including us, to learn that as young as, you know, preschool age children are being influenced by this. And a lot of folks really think of this as more of like a tween problem or something that we don't have to deal with until adolescence. But it begins early and the messages accumulate. So even just the language that we use with young girls in terms of constantly talking about their appearance, even if it's positive, right? Even if we're telling a little girl she's pretty, we're telling her that being pretty is important. And for boys, you know, he's big and strong and he's a baby, right? I mean, and yet we're making these kinds of attributions. But especially for girls, a lot of it is indirect. They're seeing what mom is doing. And mom has been under her own pressures, right, to diet. So they might see that mom is not eating what everybody else is eating at the table. They might see that mom is, not wanting to be in photographs and having other people take photos, but she's not participating. They might see that she or might hear that she's making negative comments about her own body. And so we might think as moms that, you know, this is something we're saying about ourselves, but actually that's having an impact on our daughters. And then, of course, we also have the media messages that we're bombarded with beginning very early in life. So it's really coming at us in multiple ways and at a very early age. And for that reason, we really wanted to focus in this book on taking the opportunity to build healthy body image beginning early in life. It's like we want to arm our girls so that they don't have to be subjected to the kind of stress that comes with these messages. And the messages are going to be there, but really it's about how do we equip girls to deal with that.
All right, let's talk about body dissatisfaction then, as parents might express it, as mums might express it about their own or older siblings or whomever, and then how one might start seeing that being expressed by a younger child. Your point is that mothers in particular, their own role modelling and their own self-talk in particular has a very strong impact on what their daughters pick up, correct?
Exactly, yes.
And how can that happen without us even thinking about it sometimes? Like no one would want to do, you know, anything that might impact negatively on their beautiful child's self-concept. But to your point, this may be very embedded already in a parent or an older sibling's own kind of psyche. What are some of the things that we might say or do without even really realizing it that a child will pick up on?
Well, I think that's a major point of our book, is that a lot of these behaviors that are not helpful are almost hidden to us because they are so embedded in who we are. But we do things like, sucking in our tummy when someone else comes around, or, criticizing ourselves in a photo that we're looking at, fat talk. There's a lot out there about fat talk and talking about dissatisfaction with our bodies, you know, after the holidays or something like that. So a lot of it is in our conversations, but it's also in our behaviors, you know, opting not to go into the swimming pool because we don't want to be in a swimsuit. And so much of this is picked up on by our girls, even if we are saying things that are, contrary to that, and we're saying things that are confident and positive, but they're seeing our behaviors, and those are so important for how they are going to feel about themselves.
It's quite remarkable the amount of food that mothers eat predicts how much their daughters will eat. This research shows this.
Yes.
And yes, daughters absolutely. Whose mothers are dieters are more likely to become dieters themselves, and more likely to have a negative body image.
Mm-hmm.
One of the issues I'm interested in is differentiating between body image and nutrition. And this is a challenge for parents because another constant barrage of information is the encouragement to buy very highly processed foods, for example, or whatever. And it's a challenge for parents who want to try and guide children into healthy nutrition, but this can too quickly become associated with a body image issue. Could you comment?
Absolutely. And there's a lot of emerging research on how do we navigate that, right? And one thing that we do know is that moralizing food, so calling food good or bad, is not the best way to approach things, because as much as we want to emphasize that we want to treat our bodies well and eat nutritious foods, we also, of course, enjoy food, right? Food is, it's social, we get pleasure from food, and we can take a balanced approach. And so in the book, we talk further about this, but really it's about thinking about the timing of when you're eating what you're eating, right? And why you're eating what you're eating. And there is the possibility of educating children from an early age. They have something called a naive theory of biology, which sounds very fancy, but they actually learn really quickly about things like food categories. But often what we do is we consider things good or bad. Don't eat that, that's bad for you. Or this is good for you, eat it. And it's really taking a more moderate approach and modeling that, right? Showing that, you know, well, maybe you'll have that cake for breakfast, but how do you feel a couple hours later? Well, you know, one day that might be fine to do, but on a different day, it might not be fine to do. And really teaching girls, you know, one of our premises of the book is teaching body healthy behaviors. It's treating your body with respect, appreciating what your body does for you. And so learning how to balance that, right? Having fun with food, enjoying food, but also realizing that I'm also needing to feed this machine, right? This amazing thing that carries me. And that's going to make me feel better and enable me to do the things that I want to do. And so there is a process where you can teach children these habits, and it's best started early, actually.
You've touched on something important, which is celebrating the body as an amazing piece of equipment, as opposed to something for other people to look at. Now, that right. is easier said than done. But is it, again, does it come to that regular messaging, not moralizing, but that regular kind of messaging about how wonderful the body is?
Yeah, that's a central feature of our approach, is concentrating on your body's functions rather than its appearance, not, you know, making yourself an object even in your own eyes, and thinking instead of what your body can do for you. That's it does, you know, it doesn't come naturally, because that's not the culture that we've grown up in and been taught by. But with practice, we do have the agency to change our thinking about that and to redirect our thoughts about that. And so in the first part of the book, one of the things that we thought was important was, you know, kind of revealing some of these ways in which we might be concentrating on appearance a little bit too much instead of function, and helping mom think about those and become aware of those so that she can practice modeling for her daughter, you know, something that's more focused on health and balance rather than on appearance.
The critique
and working into
go ahead. I'm sorry.
And working into girls sort of developing self-concept that, you know, appearance is there and it's always going to be a part of who we are, and people perceive us and judge us by appearance and we judge ourselves, but that should be a pretty small piece of the pie. And by focusing on, you know, developing skills, so teaching children, you know, what it means to move your body for pleasure, getting them involved in activities that they enjoy, right? That's a completely different approach to respecting and valuing your body that doesn't involve being appearance focused. And so we really talk about how to begin to do that in a way that, again, is not punishing. It's not punitive. It's enjoyable, and finding activities. And again, doing that as a family, modeling it for your child, all of those things.
Another matter here, of course, is that impact of social media. And what are some of the worrying things that parents ought to at least be aware of? Some of the sort of the craziest stuff, and I know it changes every 5 minutes, that's happening on TikTok or wherever. What are some of the things they need to know?
Well, I don't know of what the craziest ones are, but I do know that there are some toxic things that we're seeing out there. Thigh gap is what it used to be called, but now it's called legging legs. And, you know, the idea is to wear a pair of leggings, you need to have the perfect physique, and it looks like this. And there's plenty of images to guide girls on that. Achieving a filtered look, as far as your facial appearance is
A
concerned.
filtered look? What's a filtered look?
So it's interesting. The filters that people use on their photographs that they post on social media. I was in a drugstore the other day here, and I saw a makeup that was designed to make you look as if you didn't have any pores. So
Well, good luck
it
getting
was
through
a,
life without them, is
I
all I can
know,
say.
I know,
Utterly
but I
unique
thought
to the
pores are
human
so
being, by the
important.
way, the skin and pores. Carry on.
But the goal seemed to be to help you live up to what you could look like in these filtered and doctored photographs. But there's also TikTok beauty trends and around physical appearance and competitive eating practices. What are they?
So, there was a whole thing about girl dinner, which was just this concept of putting together a bunch of snacks and that's your dinner. As a girl or woman, they call it girl dinner. But that quickly devolved into this competitive eating thing where now a lot of girls are showing how little they can eat. So it'll be, well, I just had a plate of pickles and you'll be rewarded for doing that. And again, you have to worry about conformity and girls feeling like, oh, like if she's doing that, then maybe I need to be doing that. Maybe I need to be eating less as well. And so those kinds of tactics, the peer pressure, parents do need to be concerned. They need to filter and know what their daughters are looking at. That doesn't mean all social media is awful. We're not here to demonize it. It can be extremely helpful. It can be useful, used properly, but there are developmental guidelines for using it. There's also just educating girls. And so we talk about things like media literacy. So knowing that what you're seeing are these doctored images, that this is not what real life looks like, and that you shouldn't be using this as a means for, finding your role model. This is not where you're going to find that. The other concern is just, again, the sexualization of young girls. And there's some research that suggests that girls that are really engaging in these early appearance related behaviors that are sophisticated. So if I'm 7 and I'm obsessed with makeup and I'm trying to wear all the sophisticated clothes, that there's a relation between that and emerging body dissatisfaction and negative body image. So it again is like you're just getting ahead of yourself in terms of, where your mind is and how you're interpreting that information. So we need some protection there, right? Because you're not really understanding what it is that you're seeing yet. You're not cognitively mature enough to get that, well, wait, this is not what the real world is, right? You don't fully grasp that. So parents do need to be attentive, but not overmonitor or not forbid either, because that tends to not go well, as we probably all know.
And social media isn't going away. So we need to teach the girls to be prepared how to consume it responsibly and with a buffer on their body image, basically.
Which comes back to parents knowing what the hell is going on. There's the body positive movement. Sometimes I'd like to call it the FU movement, actually. I think we need a bit more of that on any number of matters affecting women and girls. And that needs to become what is shared amongst a cohort. But I had a wonderful story, really, of a friend's daughter. Someone commented on having a second serving of dessert, and there was just this unloading of, "Don't you body shame me, fat shame me." Does that work? Does that very much depend on personality, whether we can bring almost like a feminist lens or a social critique lens to some of this? It might work for some girls, but for others, they're more focused on whether they look like that thing or, look like what that whatever image they're on is on their screen.
Yeah, there's a lot of the body positive movement has contributed a lot of helpful and positive points to the discussion on body image. But I think some aspects of body positivity have been misunderstood. So some elements of it are great, but what we really want to concentrate on or think the attention should be on is not focusing on what the body looks like in either a negative or positive evaluation, but to kind of stop thinking about our bodies so
So
much as
much.
a part of who we are. So we really think the key here is to, kind of taking away positivity even, And just concentrating on expanding your self-concept to include so much more about who you are than what your appearance is and how you feel about it.
Thank you both very much. That is Janet Bozlewski and also Ashley Gallagher, who've penned Beyond Body Positive.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.